Galatians 3:21. Now, we're real proud of read this. I almost started reading it backwards like Hebrew, because I've been studying Hebrew a lot today. But we won't do that. Slaves and sons. Boy. Slaves and sons. Ho.
Ho.
Un.
Un.
Nomos.
Nomos. Kara.
Kara.
Pain.
Cone.
Cone.
Epi-ang-ga-leon.
Epi-ang-ga-leon.
Tuthu.
Tuthu.
May.
May.
Ganoito.
Ganoito.
A.
A.
Gar. Edothe.
Edothe.
Nomos.
Ho.
Ho. Dinamenos.
Dinamenos.
So. Poe. Ese.
Poe. Ese.
Untos.
Untos.
En nomo.
En nomo.
On ain.
On ain.
Hey. Dikaiosune.
Dikaiosune.
Hey, Dikaiosune. All right, now let's go back and look at this. Talks about slaves and sons. Slaves and sons. Slaves and sons. If you have somebody, a gardener, that comes into your yard to do your yard and to mow your weeds and mow your lawn and pull the weeds out of the flower bed and all that kind of stuff, now, he's not your son, is he? He's just a worker. All right? Now, your own son, if you raise in the house, now if he goes out there and pulls weeds in the garden, the yard and everything, mows the lawn or something, that's a totally different kind of person because he's the heir, isn't he? Actually, he's taking care of his own stuff. Now, the guy, the gardener that comes along, he's not going to worry about taking care of the place like it was his or going to be his, will he? But the son will. All right? Now, that's kind of the attitude that we ought to have of God. We're not just some worker out in the vineyard. We are sons. We are heirs. It's going to be ours one of these days with Him. As you look at that tabernacle up there and you think about the temple, we're going to start studying the temple on Sunday morning pretty soon. You look at those and you see them and you see the types that they are. And who's going to inhabit that place? God said, I want to be among my people, right in the middle of my people. God's going to be right in the middle, and that's going to be our house. And when we go out from here, and we witness to people about Jesus, when you study at home, when you try to teach people, when I stand up here and I teach the classes I teach, and it goes out all over the world, all I can do is do that. You don't want to have very many people here tonight. But I can't just feel real sad because the room's not full. What I need to do is to do the best job that I can for the class and for the people that are here. Because it doesn't end here. It goes way out there. And these are sons of God. These are my children. My children. When you do something eternal, that's you're doing that for God. The one therefore the law, according to the promise of God, not may it become, if for was given law, the being able to make alive, really in law, if was the righteousness. Now that sounds pretty broken, doesn't it? Marilyn, would you read that for me very loud? 3:21 in that Amplified Bible.
Is the law then contrary and opposed to the promises of God? Of course not. For if a law had been given which could confer spiritual life, then righteousness and right standing with God would certainly have come by law.
All right. Now, we didn't get eternal life with the law. What do you get with the law? Either you get to just live, or the law brings death. Okay? Therefore the law, the nomos, that's where the word we get our word name from that. According to the promise of the God. Alright? According to the promise of God. Are you going to set up here a little closer, Marilyn?
Yes.
Alright, that's good. The being able, dynamis, that's the word dynamite comes from that, is powerful, being able, powerful to make alive. The law wasn't able to make alive. It made a lot of people dead. Made a lot of people dead. Really, if the law would bring forth life, it would bring forth righteousness. What brings forth righteousness is the truth and the gospel, the good news. The law was not really good news. The law wasn't really good news. It brought death. The Apache Indians, I've been studying a lot about the Apaches. Apache. It means enemy, is what it means. I've been reading a book written by Geronimo himself about his people. And the Apaches, when they went in on some of the reservations, they tried to do the right thing. They tried to grow. Geronimo, he planted, he was out there himself plowing his fields. And let me tell you something. The government was getting a lot of money from the War Department and from the Bureau of Indian Affairs to buy them hoes, to buy them plows, and to buy them shovels and everything, but the white people were stealing them, and the Indian agents were not issuing them. These Indians were out there with sticks, and were their butcher knives farming. Geronimo planted a big corn crop, and they kept talking about they were going to hang him. And the people were saying that he ought to be hung as a murderer because he's a murderer. And he said, I was a warrior. It's war. You kill people in war. You killed my people. You killed almost all my people. You killed nine of my wives. They killed nine of his wives and all his children. And I don't mean he had nine wives at once. He'd marry one, they kill him. Marry another, they kill him. Kill him, his children, never die. He said, that was war. He said, I want to be a man of peace. Well, anyway, they kept on going, so he jumped the reservation. Well, in different parts of the reservation, they want to say that, well, we'll take care of all your offenses. If an Indian does something to another Indian, we'll take care of it. You can't do it. You don't know how. And one of the Indian chiefs says, I'll show you that we know how to take care of our people. We did it for forever. And he said, okay. So they had a judge, and the judge, they brought a case before him. This one man had literally raped his niece. And that didn't go over very good with Indian people. They didn't like that. They said, what are you going to do with it? They think that the white people, they were going to hang him or whatever, you know, they were going to do to him. And they said, oh, well, he's just an Indian. Let him go. Let him go back to the culture. They said, no, this has got to be punished. Got to be punished. Will you let us punish you? They said, all right, as long as it's not too severe, we'll take care of it. Do you know who they administered the punishment with? His brother. That was the father of the daughter. They made him take him out there, and what they decided to do, the tribe decided to do, was take him out in the sun, in the hot sun, and tie him on a limb of a tree and pull his hands up and tie him like this to where his feet, just the ends of his toes, just barely touch the ground. And they were going to let him hang there until he died. And so he could remember, because he had lied to them about what happened. That was a bad thing among Indians. You didn't lie to people. This is the law, the unwritten law. Okay? Now, as long as you obeyed the law, you lived. But if you didn't obey the law, you died. So they took the man up there, and the judge that was in there, he said, now wait a minute. Every 2 or 3 hours, you got to cut him down and let him rest just for a few minutes. So they did this. They let him rest for 10 minutes. They'd hang him back up again. And they were going to do this all day long, and the daylight was a long time. And they made him stand there like this, hanging like this. And they finally cut him down at the end of the punishment. They expected him to be dead, but he lived. He lived. When they cut him down, he said, they said, we're going to help you. And he said, no, I'll walk myself. He walked 2 or 3 steps and just collapsed. The tribe thought, well, then God, called him Houston, then God, since he didn't die, then God had forgiven him. Since he lived, then God had forgiven him. And you know what? That guy made a model citizen after that. He didn't molest any more girls or anything. He was a model citizen because he knew the next time there was not going to be any grace. And he was a great worker and a hard worker in the fields and a soldier and everything else for him. He did all right. They showed the white government that they knew their unwritten law was strong. God writes an unwritten law in all of our hearts, doesn't he? You know when you're doing something wrong, don't you? But the law written in stone was very firm, and it had no leniency at all. People, when they do the wrong thing, a lot of times their heart will convict them, and then they'll make excuses for what they did. But the law made no excuses. No excuses. 322 now, 322. Allah.
Allah.
Sin ek glason.
Sin ek glason.
Hey.
Hey.
Rafe.
Rafe.
Ta.
Ta.
Pamta.
Pamta.
Hipo.
Hipo.
Harmartion.
Harmartion.
Hina.
Hina.
Hey.
Hey.
Epongalia.
Epongalia.
Ek.
Ek.
Isios.
Isios.
Esu Christu.
Dothe.
Dothe.
Tois.
Tois. Pistusen.
Pistusen.
But shut together. But shut together the scripture. Third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. You couldn't be more pump killer than first aorist, could you? But shut together. Now, you see what I'm drawing here? Do you know what that is? Represents?
Fish.
Fish. All right. Here's a net out here. They've thrown the net out, and now they've shut it together and pulled the fish in, and the fish is, there's no escape holes in this net. Okay? Now, that's what the term means here. Shut together. Shut together, like closed in like a net. You can't get out. The net is unbreakable, closed in like a net. You're like a fish in a net. Okay? Sin ek glason. It comes from sig and kleo. It means to shut together like a fish. Luke 5 and 6 is for another place where it's used, I believe. Let me go there real quick. Luke 5 and verse 6. See if I can find that quickly. Luke 5 and verse 6. And Simon said, Master, 5 and verse 5, we worked all night long and caught nothing, but at your bidding I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. They closed the net on the fish. They pulled in. They snitched them up. Snitched them up like a handbag or something. Put them in there, got them, and cinched them up. But shut together the scripture, all scriptures under sin, everything to sin is sin. The scriptures delineated, specified exactly what was sin in the Old Testament, didn't it? I remember when I was young, I read that, and I looked at that, and all I could see is death. All I saw was death. Thou shalt not do this, you die. Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. That's when the Jews quit using the name Jehovah. They was afraid to speak his name. And how many times did I cuss and use God's name in vain? And I was condemned to hell. Shut together the scripture, all under sin, in order that the promise, out of faith of Jesus Christ, it shall be given freely to the ones believing. Marilyn, can you read that for me in that amplified scripture now?
Yeah.
Shut together. Punctiliar action. All right. If you find it over there in a minute. Now, the ones believing. Dative plural to the ones believing. Dative plural, masculine, present participle, active. It's Joel.
Galatians 22.
322. Yes.
But the scripture pictures all mankind as sinners, shut up and imprisoned by sin, so so that the inheritance blessings which was promised through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, might be given, released, delivered, and committed to all those who believe, who adhere to and trust in and rely on Him.
All right, now that word dothe there, that comes from dynamis. That word dothe, it shall be given freely. Third person singular, first aorist indicative passive voice. It shall be given freely. All right, it shall be given freely. We've even got a place for you to sit down here. 3 and verse 22. Galatians 3 and verse 22. By the way, this is John 3:16 of the book of Galatians. 3:22 is. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Galatians or Ephesians 3 and 11. Ephesians 3 and 11. That's a beautiful place. Actually, 8 through 11, this is what it's talking about here. Read that one more time. Let's go ahead and read back and read that. 3:22. Read that out, and then we're going to look at some scriptures that pertain to it also.
But the scripture pictures all mankind as sinners, shut up and imprisoned by sin, so that the inheritance blessing which was promised through faith in Jesus Christ the Messiah might be given, released, delivered, and committed to all those who believe, who adhere to and trust in and rely on Him.
All right, that's very good. Now let's go to Ephesians 3 and verse 8 through 12. Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. Marilyn, are you over there? Ephesians is the next book.
Yeah, I'm getting to that.
Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. Let's look at that. Just a little ways back there. Just a few pages.
Ephesians
3, 8 through 12.
Okay,
that's good.
To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach.
That's the grace.
To the Gentiles, the infathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light.
Hold on right there. Go back. The unfathomable riches. What it actually means, it means untrackable riches.
Untrackable.
Now, the Apaches, we were talking about that a little bit early, but the Apaches, it said they could only track up Apache with an Apache. Nobody else could follow them. And that's the term right here, the untrackable riches of God. The Old Testament told the Jews that the Messiah was coming, but when He came, they totally ignored it. It was untrackable to them. And the one thing that they didn't realize, that the Gentiles that they had so looked down their noses upon, that God was going to include in the promise. Now, go ahead and read, Mary.
Okay, to the Gentiles the infathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God.
That's God's eternal purpose.
Hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord.
All right, isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is.
It says that the church is going to be a co-heir with Christ. Remember what I talked about a while ago when I talked about we were sons, we were heirs, not just a worker. We're sons of God. We're heirs of God. We're going to be there with Him. We're going to be, right now, we're administrators of His kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? If you are a member of a real New Testament church, you're an administrator of God's kingdom today, right now, not tomorrow. You're administrating in God's kingdom today. You're one of the rulers in God's kingdom today, not tomorrow, not 1,000 years to 10,000 years from now, but right now. You're one of the administrators. That's what the term is there. Administrator. It means house law. We're taking care of God's house right now. We're doing it. We're taking care of His house. That's good. Galatians 3:23, the faith. Someone, if you want to, go to Jude 3, also Jude 3, and 2 Peter 2:18 through 22, and then Hebrews 6:4 through 6. All right. Romans 11:32. All right. Pro to day, Elthane, Cain, Piston, People, Nomon, F, Fru, Ru, Metha, Sin, Clay, Olminoi, Ace, Tane, Maluson, Piston, Apocalypse, Calypse, Face, Nay. All right, that's kind of a hard word to say. Apocalypthene. Now let's go back and look at this. Again, this refers back to Ephesians 3, 1 through 12, like we just read back there. It says, before of them moreover to come the faith, by the agency of the law, we were guarded, we were kept on being guarded, and shut together unto the being about the faith to be uncovered, to be revealed. What does the book of Revelation mean? Remember what the book of Revelation, the apocalypse, the unveiling. That's what this word here, the apocalypse, all right, to be revealed. First Harris, infinity passage, about to be uncovered. Revelation 1 and 1. Someone look at Revelation 1 and 1 to see what it says there. That's this term that Paul's using here in the book of Galatians. Revelation 1 and 1. Have you got it there, Rebecca? Mm-hmm.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John.
All right, the apocalypse. Now, the whole Old Testament, all of the Old Testament law did one thing. It showed us that we're sinners. That's one thing. Next thing, it showed that there's a Messiah coming. That's not a human. That's not a human. He is human, he's related to human race, but he's also divine. Divine. He's a divine being. He is the divine being. He's the creator that's related to his creation, and he's going to redeem it. And here he's going to come on the scene. All right, before that come the faith. The faith, piston. The faith, tame piston. And we have a definite article there, and then we have piston down below that. Look at that now. That has a definite article in front of it. That means the faith. That means the system of teaching. Like 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through onward there, where it talks about the gospel, what the gospel is. The gospel is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a system of teaching. All right? It wasn't the law in the Old Testament. The law pointed to this faith that was going to come about. By the agency of law, we were guarded. We kept on being guarded, like in a prison, being shut together, like in a fishnet, unto the being about the faith to be uncovered. Now, Rebecca, 3:23 in the Amplified Bible. Have you got that there?
Now before the faith came, we were perpetually guarded under the law, kept in custody in preparation for the faith that was destined to be revealed, unveiled, disclosed.
Okay, now who was the ones that were guarded and kept? All of Israel. We had one faithful girl there in Israel that God used to bring through her body, bring forth the Messiah. All right? She was guarded. The old devil tried to contaminate the human race, didn't he? Tried to contaminate it. But God overruled him. And here we have the one person. All right? Now let's go to Jude 3. Jude 3. That's the book right before. That's the just a few verses before Revelation 1 and 1. Have you got that over there, Rebecca?
Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints.
That word is hapax there, once for all delivered to the saints. That's a system of teaching. We're administrators in God's kingdom, but we need to do it according to His rules, not our own. When we start doing things according to our rules, I remember one thing Brother Charles Brady, not too long before, he said, one of these days, God's church is going to realize that Jesus is still the rock. everything that we do on our own is out of hand. It's lawlessness. When we start trying to change things our way, it's lawlessness. Jesus is still the rock. All right? Ephesians 3:21, I mean Jude 3. And then 2 Peter 2:18 through 22. 2 Peter 2:18 through 21. 2 Peter 2:18 through 21 and Hebrews 6. Marilyn, you go to Hebrews 6, okay? And Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. Are you over there to 2 Peter, Rebecca? 2:18 through 22.
For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through licentiousness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away or to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire.
That's talking about Israel, people. That's talking about Israel. God's, all his law pointed them to the Messiah. When the Messiah came, they rejected him at first, but then some of those Jews to just go along with their families and everything else, they became so-called believers, but they wanted to drag the church back to the law, back to the vomit. God looked at them, he said, "Oh, ye scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." Whoa, 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 that means phuah, that's a Greek word, and it means calamity, calamity. Calamity to you. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. Now those were the most religious people in the day. But something was wrong. Their religion was empty. Their religion was absolutely empty. It didn't have God in it. It had themselves in it. That Pharisee that stood on the corner there, that was probably not a parable, but a real true happening. He stood on there and he looked up to God, right in the face of God, and said, "I thank you that you didn't make me like other people." Now that's part of the Jewish thing in their prayers. They say, "I thank you didn't make me like other people, that I am a Jew and that I am not a woman." That's what they say. Just think about that for a while. We're going to get into that one in a few minutes. They would say, "I thank you that I'm not like other men," and then they would come down and say, "And I am not a woman." But that's part of their prayer. They still pray that today. "I thank you that I'm a Jew, and I'm not a Gentile, and I thank you again that I'm a man and not a woman." Remember that. Okay, we're going to go back to that in a few minutes. All right. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, Marilyn.
4 through 6?
Yes.
"For in case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame."
Who's this talking to? The book of Hebrews, we don't know who the writer was, but he's talking to Jews. And he said, "You came to the truth. You came to the knowledge." What happened at the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem? The church was waiting for the Lord. And the Lord, the power of God, came upon that church that day and immersed it in his power. And they saw powers. People were healing people. They were speaking in languages that they didn't know how to, they didn't have to learn. They were speaking in these languages. And that was the unconfusion of the language. Back here at the Tower of Babel, God confused the languages. there on the day of Pentecost, everybody could hear in the same language, and they said, it's speaking in my own very dialect. If you were Okie, you were Okie. So to speak. Right there in Muskogee or Shakota, whatever. Yeah, I mean, right there, those people right there, a Louisiana boy, so to speak. You could tell that. You know, when you hear those people, when they hear each other, they can tell that they're kin. They've been raised in the same area. They can tell that. And they were hearing all these people speak and preach in their own native dialect, where they were. That was a miracle. Now, this is the miracles of the powers to come in this age. And this age over here, this is a foretaste. This is a salesman sample case of what the power of God is. Now, they said, now, you saw all these things, and now you've gone back to the law? Wherein was death? How foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians, he says in another place. Oh, foolish Galatians. 3:24. Hoste.
Hoste.
Honomos.
Honomos.
Pedagogos.
Pedagogos.
Haman.
Haman.
Gegelin.
Gegelin.
Ace. Christon.
Christon.
Ina.
Ina.
Ek. Pistios. Nikaiothomen.
Nikaiothomen.
All right, now let's look at this. We're brought to the master's house. There was one guy, he titled his whole ministry the master's house. So as, that comes from Holsente, so as the law is a child trainer. It's a spanker upper. That's what it literally means. Now, that's what it literally means to spank up a child. That word's used two times in the New Testament, by the way. Pedagoge, gogos. And it had the idea of a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster. Now, a schoolmaster and the master teacher are two different people. The schoolmaster was a sergeant of arms. Okay? The Old Testament law was a sergeant of arms. The schoolmaster is Jesus, the real teacher. Okay? A.T. Robertson says, a child, 6 to 12, 6 to 16 years old, was watched over by his schoolmaster, watched over his behavior at home, and attended him when he went away from, like, home to school. Christ is our schoolmaster, and the law is the pedagogue, to keep watch over us till we came to Christ. Okay? The purpose of the law was a pedagogue, to spank them up straight and aim them in the right direction. The pedagogue, the schoolmaster, not the master teacher, but the schoolmaster is the truant officer. Okay? The truant officer. That's the one that makes you go to school. Make sure you get there and make sure you don't cut classes. That's the schoolmaster. And the schoolmaster was the law. But our master teacher is the one that puts the information out. The real information. All right, the real information. Jesus is our schoolmaster. I've been reading a book by Geronimo. Again, I'll make a reference to that because he had the most wonderful profession of faith of any human being that I've ever read, I think, in my life. You think, Carolyn, you've heard?
I heard it.
Yeah. Geronimo said, I always believed in God. I always believed in God. But he said, I didn't know anything at all about the hereafter. He said, I thought that if I obeyed the unwritten law, and I was a good man, protected my family, took care of the old, took care of my mother, he took care of his mother. When his father died, he took care of his mother, took her in and provided for her. He provided for his children. He provided them food. He made sure that they were educated rightly and they were believers in God. Houston. All right. That's it. I made sure that they lived right. And I expected that when I died, that maybe I would have another life somehow. I would go be with God. We didn't know anything about it. We didn't know what heaven was like. But he said, now that I'm a Christian, he said, there's no need for wars any place in the world. Because Jesus didn't talk about greed. He talked about the control of greed. The whole law of the Testament, Old Testament, it was the control of greed. They made sure the rich got taxed to almost 40% so they couldn't get richer. So they couldn't control other people's lives in complete mastery. That was a whole control of society as a whole. He said, when I saw that and I heard this preaching, and he said, I was baptized and believed in Jesus. Now he said, we would have never had any trouble at all if all those captains and military men had been Christians. We would have never had a war. We could have lived on the reservation forever. And he said, I know one thing. Now that I'm a Christian, he said, there was a general by the name of Howard. That was one Arne Howard. He said, I know. He said, that man never told me about Jesus, but I know that he knew Jesus. Because everything he told me was the truth. And he said, I'm glad that America has a president now, at that time, Teddy Roosevelt, that says he is a Christian and he believes in God. Because he needs to. How in the world could he possibly take care of all the people in this nation if he didn't know the great Almighty God? He said, everybody can live in peace now. They took him to the World's Fair in Pittsburgh, I think it was. And he watched a lot of things. He saw sights that he never could believe. He saw people. He saw some Turkish and some Cossacks fighting with swords and everything else. He said, I just knew they were going to kill each other. But he said, I'm going to tell you. He said, they tried to hit each other in the heads with these swords and everything. They fought. Their masters told them to go to it, and they got with it. He said, I'm going to tell you something. It would be awful hard to kill those people. In a battle. He said, they would be hard to kill if they were my enemy. And he said, I went there and I saw a lot of people out there, all over. And he said, I really like these people. And he said, they were kind of harmless. These people you could live with and not get hurt, and they wouldn't try to kill you. He said, I really like these Americans now. He said, I didn't like them much before I became a Christian. But now that I get out there and I see them, he said, I really like them. He said, what we need is more Christian soldiers. Christian soldiers. And he said, I know. This was really funny. He said, I saw these brown people. America had a war with these people down in the Philippines. And they brought some of these aborigines, the Filipinos, these Indians, wild Filipinos. And they brought them there and they didn't have much clothes on. And they put them up there and he said, I was ashamed for them when I looked at them. These people are really ignorant. They didn't know how to act or anything. He said, they was up there and they had these metal things that they clanged together. And they got up there and danced and they act like they were entertaining people. But he said, I would never say anything. But he says, that wasn't music. That wasn't music at all. But he said, I don't know if this is the truth or not. I heard that the president had these people brought over here. He said, they didn't know how to dress or anything. They didn't know how to act among other people. He said, I heard the president brought them over here to learn how to act. When they got home, they could teach their people how to dress and how to be civilized. He's looking at all the stuff like that with his childlike wonders. And he believed everything he saw. People try to trick you, don't they? Nelson Miles tricked him into surrendering and lied to him through his teeth. Geronimo said, I know that he wasn't a Christian. He wouldn't have done it. He said in the Apache, if we have to have a trial, we get the chief and he asks other people if it's real serious. And when somebody testifies in a court, he said, we don't tell them you have to be under oath. We expect them to tell the truth. Surely they won't lie. If they believe in God, then they won't lie. Up here in our courts, we have oaths for you to testify. I swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, only the truth, so help me God. And I tell you, they fly through their teeth. It didn't do any good to have a Bible in the classroom, in the courtroom, because the people's hearts weren't fixed. Geronimo, he said, my heart is fixed. I'm a better person now because I know about hereafter. I didn't know about heaven before, but now that I know that it's there, it's wonderful. I want to go there. I can't wait. I'm only going to live a few more years. Father Grace, schoolmaster, spank us up. The Bible teaches us how to be citizens of heaven. The Bible teaches us how to be citizens of heaven now. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but now. You know what's right and wrong. Your heart tells you, and then the Word of God is nails it down in stone, doesn't it, what's right and wrong. 325. Let's finish 324, though, first. So as the law, a child trainer of us, has become unto Christ, pointless to Christ, extension and limitation of thought of revelation. Remember that grammatical rule there with ace. In order that, out of faith, we should be justified, made just. When John Romero realized that he was going to get to go to heaven, he was a happy camper. He said, when I was in prison, I've been a prisoner of war for a long time. You know, they never let him. He was never free again. He begged Theodore Roosevelt, let him ride in his inaugural address, and then he walked up to the White House, and he said, the President, sir, may I take my people home? I'll be a good citizen. I know now I'm a Christian, and I know how to be a good citizen, and we won't take up much land. We just want a little piece of land where we can grow our corn, and we can be citizens of this great nation now. We know how. And he said, no. Then it broke his heart. He just turned away from him and went away. He said, I don't understand. He was justified before God. Now, why didn't the President forgive him? If God forgave him, why wouldn't he forgive him? Why couldn't he go home and live in the land of his fathers? And just a little piece of it, he said, just a little bit. Just a little bit. That's all I want, just enough to grow and feed my family. I don't want to have everything. Justified. 325. El Thusis. Day. Pace. Visios. Hukete. People. Pedagogon. Esmen. Let's look at this one now for a few minutes. And it starts out, actually, you have to start this verse with day, because that's a weak adversity conjunctive particle. Page 85 in the analytical Greek lexicon. And weak adversity conjunctive particle. And having come of the faith, no longer under child trainer we are. When the faith came, the real system of teaching, the church age. When the church age came, the Lord Jesus Christ called his church out in his ministry. He called it out. The word ecclesia means one's called out. He went by around the Sea of Galilee and began to call it out. Calling it out. He told it to wait for him there on the day of Pentecost. The church wasn't begun there. The church was empowered there. He was already there. The church had already baptized people. The church already had a treasurer. The church already went on a limited commission. The church had already been out baptizing people. The church already had the Lord's Supper before the day of Pentecost. All of those things it had done before the day of Pentecost. The church, the king had come to the throne of Israel. And he called out his administrators. Israel was set aside. What do you think that fig tree that Jesus cursed was? That fig tree didn't produce, so he cursed it. He said, be thou cursed. And what happened to that fig tree? It dried up and the leaves fell off of it. I mean, it was dead. Israel, nationally, at that time, spiritually, Israel was supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the world. But they became kaput. He took the reins of his kingdom the scepter of his kingdom and gave it to the church. And you are now descendants of that church. And we are administrators of his kingdom today in this world. We have a great amount of authority on our shoulders, but we can only act as we have written instructions. Not on our own, but the written instructions that we have. And having come to faith, that's second heirs now, having come to faith, no longer under the child trainer, no longer under the law, no longer under Israel. Israel. I'm translating the book of Genesis, and I'm over halfway through it, finished with it again, the second time now. But I have loved doing it again. Much of the New Testament was lost, and I had to rewrite it, make a new interlinear of it, and I enjoyed every moment of doing it again, and I'm enjoying every moment of doing the book of Genesis again. I took it for 6 years. In Hebrew, and we always went to the book of Genesis because that's the most important book in the Old Testament. That's why I'm teaching that on Sunday night. It's very important. I want to leave it behind. I want to leave what I learned from my teachers behind. The Bible is a very important book. That's the thing that points us to our Messiah. Is a very important book. Having come over the faith, no longer under a child trainer, we are. We're part of that kingdom. We're part of the administration of that kingdom. It's not our kingdom, but we're heirs of it, aren't we? It's God's kingdom. 326. Pontes.
Pontes.
Dar, Huioi,
Thu,
Este, Dia, Tes, Pistios, Increase to Isu. All right. For all sons of God, all heirs, ye are, by the agency of the faith in Christ Jesus. When we come to the faith in Christ Jesus, when we submit our lives to obedience. A.T. Roberts says, we are justified by faith in Christ, not by circumcision or by baptism. Baptism is a public profession and pledge. That's what baptism is a public profession and pledge. The soldier, sacramentum, the oath of fidelity and fealty to Christ, taking one's stand with Christ. The symbolic picture of the change wrought by faith already in your life. And when we are baptized, we become a member of some local, visible New Testament church. And we're part of that kingdom. We're part of that administration. For all heirs, sons of God, ye are by the faith in Christ Jesus. First of all, we're immersed in faith by the Lord. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and that faith didn't come out of you, not of works, lest any man should boast. It says, though, that we are created in Christ unto good works. Now, to save people ought to act like a saved person. And when you take that oath of allegiance to God, that's the soldier's sacramentum. That's when we make our allegiance to God and we make a public stand. We ought to live like Christians. Because we're part of a kingdom that is the greatest kingdom that ever the world has ever known. Or the next world. You know that the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ will be with Jesus forever. Not for a day, not for an age, but forever. Age Tony on, Tony on, Tony on. Olam in Hebrew. Forever. Eternity. That's a long time, people. Ages upon ages upon ages. Romans 6 and 3 and 13 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 10 and 2. Colossians 3 and 9, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, Ephesians 6, 11 and 14, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8, Romans 8 and 1 and 8 and 14, Galatians 4 and 5, 4, 14, 5, 6 and 24, Ephesians 1 and 1. Philippians 1 and 1, Colossians 1 and 4, 2 Timothy 1 and 1, and Titus 1 and 4. These are all cross-references to this verse right here. We're sons of God through faith. Let's read one more verse and I'll turn you loose. We got started a little bit late tonight, but we'll go ahead and read this one other verse, and then we're going to turn you loose on the world, go out to something eternal. Posole, gar, eis Christu, e baptistete, Christon, in a du saste. For as many unto Christ ye were baptized, immersed, Christ ye clothed yourself in. All right? You clothed yourselves as Christians. We have dressed up in Jesus Christ. The world doesn't know what we do inside. Only when we do something outside, externally, does the world know it. When Geronimo was a fighter and a warrior, he told his people, he said, when you don't think you can go any further, when your body is worn out, when your body is completely tired and ready to lay down and die, you feed the Spirit. The Spirit will get you through. The Spirit of the people, you go on and you run. He said, when I was a young boy, they taught me to run. He'd have to run 100 miles a day. And you know what he'd do? He'd run 50 miles and go by a water hole and go by where food was. And he'd stop and look at it and go on. He wouldn't take it. He would go on. Because he was denying himself and he was feeding his Spirit. He had complete control over self. You know why the early churches, why they fasted? And so they could gain control over their body. When they fasted, they fed the Spirit. When you get your body under control, we live in a world that's just going to hell in a handbasket, so to speak. We look at it out there, I mean, it's a hellish, ungodly world. Feed the Spirit. Feed your Spirit. Don't feed the flesh. Feed the Spirit. Make your Spirit strong. Be able to walk by that sees candy and just smell of it and go on. Now that takes a lot of gumption, doesn't it?
Hey, what about samples?
Walk by the samples and keep on walking. You walk by, you see the things of the world that are so delicious to the flesh. But you walk on by and just keep on running. Walk on by and keep on running. Running in the Lord. Running in the Lord. Well, we're going to start at 3:28 next week. What day of the month is this?
28th.
The 28th. All right. We quit at 3:28 on 4/28/2010. All right. I hope you enjoyed God's word tonight. Hope it meant something to you.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to sick you on the world, and I hope that your spirit was set.
Yes, it was.
Didn't have any seized candy in here, but I hope that we had some real steak from God's word. I hope we had a filet mignon to chew on tonight from the Word of God. All right. Rebecca, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time that you've given us, this time to come and learn about you, and thank you for the wisdom that you've given to Jim to impart to us.